You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is good? It's your boy, Sosa Cremenges, fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and the host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. So today, as with every Friday, is going to be our Fan Mail Friday episode. So I asked you guys to send in some of your questions, and now I'm just really going to answer them. And I'm going to share my score prediction at the end of this episode. So without further ado, let's just hop right into it. And thanks to Pepsi for sponsoring this episode. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. We're going to begin this episode by highlighting the offensive line and their play, and so our first question is from @FaZeBoy, and shout out FaZeBoy, he's always representing and he's always supporting, so I see you, boss, thank you for the support. And he said, how happy are you with Austin Blythe and Austin Corbett's PFF grades from week one? And they had, you know, grades of 81.9 and 80.3, as well as Andrew Whitworth's insane 95.2 PFF grade. To be, you know, frank, I'm thrilled. So, you know, anyone that's listened to me talk about this season and really prior, you know, throughout the offseason and just entering the season knew how concerned I was about the offensive line. And you know, I don't think they're past the point of no return at this point. You know, there's still a whole lot of season left to be played. But the early returns are that, you know, the Rams took a shot at not really investing in their offensive line. And so far, it's worked out tremendously. I mean, through 1 week, because Austin Blythe graded as one of the best centers in the NFL in week one. Austin Corbett graded as one of the best guards in week one. And Andrew Whitworth was the highest graded tackle in week one. And that doesn't even mention, you know, Rob Havenstein, who graded out as a top 15 tackle. And really, that only leaves left guard Joe Nopum, who, you know, struggled in game one, which to me was no surprise. But I'm really thrilled with the offensive line's performance. Now, as I mentioned in, you know, previous episodes earlier this week, I said Sean McVay clearly designed a game plan to help the offensive line neutralize the defensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. There wasn't many traditional dropback passes from Jared Goff, you know, with seven-step dropbacks and, you know, a downfield passing attack to where he needed lots of time to have, you know, routes developed down the field and all that. It was more just a quick hitter kind of game, a lot of play action, a lot of under center, a lot of screens to receivers, a lot of screens to running backs. It was really just getting the ball into the hands of his playmakers and letting those guys make plays. And, you know, on those screens, we've seen linemen like Andrew Whitworth and Austin Corbett and Austin Blythe getting out in space and making tremendous blocks out in space. Like, these guys are incredibly athletic, and they showed it in that first week by routinely creating chunk yards on running back screens, mostly to Malcolm Brown, the veteran running back. But, you know, you've seen these guys getting out in space, locating their target in terms of linebackers and safeties and really anyone on the defense, and securing blocks and allowing a guy like Malcolm Brown to be productive. And there was even that one snap that was, I believe it was in the red zone. The Rams were closing in, you know, on a potential touchdown, and they ran a screen. They got the Cowboys to bite really hard, and the screen would have worked out perfectly, but unfortunately, Brown dropped a pass. I think he kind of took his eyes off the ball and started looking downfield a little bit too early. But had he caught that ball, it looked like that Brown had a really good shot to score from about 16, 17, 18 yards out, something around there. And that would have been another fantastic screen and another, you know, fantastic display of blocking from the offensive line in space. So long story short, I'm incredibly impressed by their performances. I'm, you know, I think the arrow is trending upwards. I'm really excited to see how these guys can fare in week two against the Eagles' defensive line, which is one of the best units in football once again. And I'm excited to see really when the Rams eventually do have to, you know, drop back and start to go more traditional in terms of their pass sets and you know, having to block a little bit longer and having to allow these routes to develop downfield, then I think we'll really get a good gauge of how these guys are playing and how they look in this season. And, you know, the early returns are great, so I'm excited to see how these guys move forward with each other. And I have a lot of faith in these guys after their first week one performance, which was incredibly impressive to me. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about a former Rams player potentially spilling the beans to the Eagles? That sounds quite interesting. And while we've got you, don't forget to come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MVP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Visa knows that local businesses are the heart of our communities. Whether they are our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, they call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going the extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses. And look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partner of the NFL. In the last segment, I teased a former Rams player potentially spilling the beans to the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, you know, that ties into the question here, and it's quite an interesting topic, but, you know, I think it's a lot more bravado than anything. But the question is from XO Chromius. He said, thoughts on NRC, which stands for Nickell Robey Coleman, sharing old Rams insight, and what are some matchups to look out for? And so, obviously, you know, the Rams used to have Nickell Robey Coleman on their roster. He was a nickel cornerback and one of the better nickel cornerbacks in football. The Rams, unfortunately for Nickell Robey Coleman, released him in the offseason and chose to go in a different direction with younger guys at the cornerback position while saving a little bit of money because they were tight and against the cap. And ultimately, NRC found his way to the Eagles, and now he's the Eagles' starting nickel cornerback. And so he was asked earlier this week in a press conference, are you going to share, you know, the news you have and the info you have on Sean McVay's system? Because Nickell Robey Coleman was with the Rams for, I believe it was 2 or 3 years. So, you know, he's got the verbiage down pat. He understands, you know, the play calls and everything like that. Nickell Robey Coleman said that he would share with all his new teammates everything that he knew. And obviously, you know, that makes complete sense. I mean, he doesn't owe anything to the Rams at this point in time. And, you know, it's all about next week and how you can win, you know, that next week. And I fully expected this from Nickell Robey Coleman. You know, this comes as no surprise. This is common, very, very common in the NFL. And it makes sense to try and give his team any kind of advantage that they could possibly get against an offense that looks pretty damn dangerous. And so we'll carry on to the second half of the question. He said, are there any matchups to look out for? For me, I think probably the most intriguing matchup is going to be the tight ends versus the linebackers slash safeties for both teams. You know, the Rams have two very good tight ends in Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett, and they ran a lot of 12 personnel. They actually ranked 6th in the NFL in week 1 in terms of snaps and 12 personnel. And I expect that to, you know, be the case moving forward now. The Eagles have a lot of question marks at that inside linebacker position, and their safety position is a little bit in flux with veteran Malcolm Jenkins getting released in the offseason and making his way back to New Orleans, kind of just making a transition there with Jalen Mills sliding from corner to safety. Now, on the other side of the ball, again, it's very similar. The Eagles have probably the best duo of tight end in football in Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, and the Rams have a lot of question marks at inside linebacker in guys like Micah Kizer and Kenny Young, though the Rams do prefer typically to leave a safety on man coverage against tight ends, and so I would expect to see a lot of a guy like John Johnson covering, you know, a Zach Ertz or even a Dallas Goedert, and even rookie Jordan Fuller, I'm sure, will find his way into those roles. But those are the matchups I think that are incredibly intriguing to me. I'm curious to see which duo at tight end can make, you know, more big plays, can create more yardage after the catch, because these guys are really capable of it. You see guys like Tyler Higbee and Dallas Goedert who are more, you know, traditional inline guys who can put their hand in the dirt and block a little bit, whereas guys like Ertz and Everett are more, you know, new style tight ends in terms of being closer to a body type of a receiver, lighter guys. They're not great blockers. They're not terrible blockers, but they're not, you know, that's not their game. Their game is to get out in space, be athletic, catch the ball like a receiver, create yardage after the catch, and just make big plays. And so I'm really excited to see how both of these sides fare and really which defensive group is going to step up, whether that be the Rams' inside linebackers or safeties or the Eagles'. And so, you know, whoever controls that part of the game and the middle part of the field, because that is where these tight ends are mostly going to be used, I think it's got a really good shot at winning the game, because both of these offenses do prefer to stay ahead of the chains and really just move the chains and try to, you know, string together long drives to where they could get themselves in third and manageable situations and then convert. And that's typically where these tight ends are being used in the terms of, you know, third and five, you want to go look for a guy like Zach Ertz, and you know a guy like Carson Wentz is going to be targeting him. And it makes sense because he's their best possession receiver and their best chain mover. And so, you know, the Rams probably have a lot more in terms of the skill position talent. But, you know, Tyler Higbee is a guy who does a lot of the similar things in terms of this is a guy who's incredibly matchup based, and he's going to be a problem for really most defenders in terms of his matchup and his size and his speed. And so I'm excited to just see how these sides fare. And I think ultimately, whichever side can, you know, produce and stay ahead of the chains and, you know, keep third and manageable situations routinely in drives, I think that side has a really good shot to come out on top. But coming up when we return, I'll share what some of the biggest challenges are for the Rams' offense. And then I'll also share my score prediction for the game. Make sure to check back in with us on Monday when we recap this Week 2 matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. Hopefully the Rams will be 2-0 and we'll have some more positives to talk about. But, you know, it's going to be the first road game for the Los Angeles Rams, so we'll see how they fare on the road. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Welcome back to the last segment prior to the game, Week 2. Prior to the Week 2 game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. So in the last segment, I tease what the biggest challenge for the Rams' offense may be and my score prediction. So without further ado, we're really just going to hop right into it with the question. And so the question comes from @PuddlesFrazier. He said, what do you see as the biggest challenge for the Rams' offense against the Eagles? And ironically enough, just like it was last week, I think, you know, all my eyes are going to be peeled on that offensive line slash Eagles' defensive line matchup really throughout the whole game. So the Eagles have one of the best defensive lines of football. They've got a ton of depth across that offensive line from guys like, you know, Brandon Graham at the edge, Derek Barnett on the edge. They got Josh Sweat, who's developing incredibly well on the edge. He graded out as PFF's number two edge defender in week one. And then on the interior, they might have the best trio of interior defensive linemen in the NFL in Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, who they just paid in the offseason, who didn't play in week one, who's questionable, it appears, in week two, so we don't know if he's going to be a go or not. And then Malik Jackson, the guy who they signed, you know, a year ago at the defensive tackle spot for big money as well. So that's an incredible trio. They're incredibly deep across the whole defensive line. You know, these guys are very talented. They're all versatile. They can kick inside. They can play on the outside. And I didn't even mention a guy like Vinnie Curry, who was just put on injured reserve, unfortunately, for the Eagles due to a injury in week one. But he played well, too. And so it's tough to say who's going to win this battle. Obviously, the Rams' offensive line looked solid in the first week. And, you know, the Eagles' defensive line, you know, they had their moments. And largely over the last few years, they've been one of the most dominant positional groups in the entire NFL, and the Eagles clearly like to invest in that line routinely, one offseason after the next, and that's why they're so good, because general manager Howie Roseman is just willing to keep putting money and resources and assets into that defensive line, and it generally keeps, you know, the defense of the Eagles in games. Essentially, they're so good at creating pressure, they're really good against the run. And they can really do it all. They're very deep too. So the injuries don't really concern me, or wouldn't concern me if I was an Eagles fan, because they just have so many guys that they can rotate at those positions. And, you know, so it's really going to boil down to the Rams' offensive line. I'm curious to see if Sean McVay is going to call a game similar to how he did in the last week against the Dallas Cowboys, to where, you know, he ran a lot of screens, he ran a lot of misdirection, a lot of motion, a lot of ghost motion, some, you know, jet sweeps, things like that. He really tried to get that defensive line to stop rushing the passer and start using their brains in terms of, you know, having a hesitation step or being a step slower or having to go east and west as opposed to north and south, and really just slow down the pass rush and kind of catch them when they weren't ready for it. And so I'm curious to see whether McVay is going to do something similar in this week, which I think would be very wise. Obviously, you want to do your best to slow these guys down. And not only that, but gash them when they're not, you know, prepared, when they pin their ears back and they're ready to go after your quarterback and Jared Goff. Catch them, you know, with a screen where, you know, a guy like Cam Akers or a guy like Malcolm Brown can get out in the open field with a lineman or two in front of them and have a whole lot of open field and grass, really, to gain a lot of yardage. So I'm curious to see whether that's going to be something that Sean McVay is interested in doing. Now, on to my score prediction. I have the Rams squeaking out of Philadelphia with a slight win. I'm going to go with a score of 24-21. I think, you know, both offenses are going to be relatively productive. I don't think it's going to be incredibly high scoring. I do think both defenses are also going to have their moments. You know, both of these teams invested in an incredibly talented number one cornerback, and the Rams, you know, paying and trading for Jalen Ramsey, and then the Eagles trading for and paying Darius Slay from the Detroit Lions. You know, so the matchups are very interesting. You know, these teams go back over the last few years. The Rams and the Eagles have had a lot of games against each other, and they're essentially tied together in terms of the whole Doug Peterson, Sean McVay kind of rivalry, and the Jared Goff slash Carson Wentz trade up 2016 draft kind of rivalry. And, you know, so these teams are kind of paired together in terms of really just being etched in history in terms of their moves over the last few seasons. And then they, obviously they've had a lot of games against each other, and, you know, there was a Carson Wentz injury in the Coliseum, and really, so there's a lot of, you know, familiarity with these two sides. I'm curious to see, you know, just how this game is going to play out. I think whoever can really make enough stops on defense, obviously that's nothing new, really. Defense, you know, as they say, wins championships, but I'm curious to see which defense, you know, can force which offense into more turnovers or into more mistakes, because, you know, we've seen Jared Goff being very careful with the ball in week one, and we've seen Carson Wentz being a little bit chaotic with his passes in week one. Now, the Eagles have done a good job bouncing back from losses, and Carson Wentz in particular has done a good job in bouncing back after rough games. And so I expect Wentz to, you know, have a decent game at least, bounce back and play strong, and it's going to be tough for the Rams to travel. But one huge positive is obviously the link will be empty. There won't be any fans, so, you know, both sides are going to be at, you know, at bay when it comes to no fans, no noise, no nothing like that. But I expect the Rams to come out on top. You know, it's going to be interesting to see who can go for the Eagles, because their injury report is, you know, quite long in terms of having a lot of important players on there, from guys like right tackle Lane Johnson and halfback Miles Sanders, you know, who are both expected to play this week, but you just never know how long they can play, whether they're going to be, you know, the players that we know that they are when they're in the game, or if they're going to be even on a pitch count or anything like that. So I'm curious to see how this game goes. I think it's going to be a great game between two good teams. Obviously, the Eagles are a bit more desperate for a win. They can't go down 0-2. And the Rams would love to start out 2-0. You know, even though their schedule looked incredibly tough through the first 3 weeks, they have a chance really to start 2-0. And that's incredibly impressive for a team that a lot of people counted out when they shouldn't have. So I'm excited to see what happens in this game. I think it's going to be a great game. It starts on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time in Philadelphia. The Rams versus the Eagles. Make sure to check it out, and make sure to check back in with us on Monday to hear our game recap from the Week 2 contest between the Los Angeles Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. Pepsi, made for football watching. Thank you for sponsoring today's episode. Just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMVP. You can find the page at Locked On Rams. And please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.